Mirkwood, a great forest corrupted by Sauron, but what is its history? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider legendarium in depth, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. If you like the sound of that, there's a subscribe button in the bottom right of your screen. While most people know it as Mirkwood, for most of its life the forest had a very different name, conjuring a very different feel. Greenwood the Great. And it is old, perhaps even forming part of the huge primeval woodland that covered most of the west of Middle-earth until wars and continents shifting and Numenorean deforestation took their toll. But from very early on, the elves settled there. First, we have the Nandor, those who passed through on their journey westwards to Valinor, but decided that they were unwilling to cross the Misty Mountains. They instead settled down, building small communities throughout Greenwood the Great and the wooded valleys of the River Anduin. They multiplied and were eventually joined by wandering Avari. The Avari elves were those who had heard the summons to Valinor, but refused to journey there, instead deciding to make their home on Middle-earth. Some wandered westwards anyway, and these communities intermixed, and the new community eventually became known as the Sylvan or Wood Elves. And so it seems to have been, for many years. The forest itself seems to have retained its rough rectangular shape, and good enough relations were clearly established with the dwarves, who built a road, the Old Forest Road, east-west through Greenwood, joining their city of Khazad-dûm to the west of the forest, with their newer colony in the Iron Hills to the east. The road was started sometime in the First Age, and well used, it would appear, until midway through the Second Age, when the dwarves locked the gates of Moria. Of course, much more had changed in the world at the end of the First and start of the Second Ages of Middle-earth. After the War of Roth, many of the Eldar who wanted to stay in Middle-earth retreated to Lindon. However, some soon headed further east to explore more of the continent and set up their own realms. One such group of Sindarin elves were led by Orifer, previously of the legendary elven realm of Doriath, who travelled across Middle-earth to Greenwood the Great. Once there, Orifer united the elven communities living there and announced the creation of the Woodland Realm, and soon he was appointed as its king. His migratory group were merged with the already mixed elven community and adopted the customs and language of the Sylvan Elves and took names of Sylvan form and style. It seems that Orifer and his household wished to return to a simpler existence. How the elves had lived before they had been disturbed by the Valar, living closer to nature and just enjoying life. And for another long age, they maintained neutrality and relative peace in Greenwood the Great. The wars of Morgoth passed them by in the First Age, and for most of the Second Age, they managed to avoid Sauron's. However, war finally arrived for the elves of the Woodland Realm with the forging of the last alliance of elves and men. Gil-galad, king of the Elves of the West, convinced King Orifer and the Elves of the Woodland Realm to join his and Elendil's forces in finally taking on Sauron. Orifer led his people south, along with his neighbour Amdir, king of Lorien. These Sylvan Elves had joined the alliance, but hadn't really accepted the chain of command, and launched an attack before Gil-galad was ready. Orifer, king of the Woodland Realm, died in the first assault, and the lightly armoured Sylvans were pushed back into what later became known as the Dead Marshes. Thousands died. When Frodo and Sam cross those marshes many centuries later, the elves they see staring up at them from the waters are those elves. The battle was eventually won, but when the Sylvans returned home to Greenwood, it was clear that the losses at Dagolad had devastated their population. With such a small number of people left, Thranduil, their new king, could no longer populate the entirety of Greenwood the Great. Instead, he focused on the hills of Emynduir in the north of the forest and rebuilt his kingdom from there. In truth, Orifer had already started this process during the Second Age. His capital had been at Amon Lank, a high, treeless hill in the southwest of the forest, but he had left it three times, fearing the rising power of Sauron off to the south. Thranduil merely completed this process, eventually making the move permanent to Emynmuel in the northeast. He built a complex of chambers and living spaces under the high hills there that we eventually see towards the end of the Third Age when Bilbo and the dwarves pass through in The Hobbit. Thranduil was the unnamed elven king in that story, and seemingly had built his new halls in imitation of the legendary beautiful Thousand Caves of Menegroth, the heart of Doriath where his father had lived and perhaps he had grown up. Anyway, Tolkien makes clear that Thranduil was understandably traumatised by what he had experienced in the Battle of Dagolad, his father and most of his people brutally killed. And from that moment on, he turned ever more inward, hating even to look south and abandoning that part of the forest. As such, other races and people started to incur on Greenwood's borders. To the east, the Northmen felt a need for timber and created the East Bight, a 50-mile by 50-mile chunk of now deforested land cut out of Greenwood. To the west, the ancestors of the Rohirrim and the precursors of the Hobbits made their homes along the Anduin Valley, pushing back the borders of the Greenwood little by little. Unnoticed by most, a wizard, newly arrived, set up his home at Roesgerbel on the western edges of the forest. He became known as Radagast. And near the beginning of the second millennium of the Third Age, a mysterious magician saw the south of Greenwood the Great as a perfect place to call home. It was hidden away from the rest of Middle-earth and was empty from the diminished elf population. This mysterious magician came to Amon Lank in the south of Greenwood the Great, Orifer's abandoned capital, and there built a great fortress. He named this fortress Dol Guldur, or the Hill of Sorcery. This magician, who called himself the Necromancer, began to spread a shadow deep within Greenwood the Great, extinguishing lights within and closing it off from the sun. As the Necromancer grew in power, the shadow across the forest also grew. When nearly half of the forest was gripped by the shadow of the Necromancer, the elves came to refer to Greenwood as Tor Nu Fuin, the forest under nightshade, rendered into the Mannish tongue as Mirkwood, and the name stuck. Around the same time that the Great Plague devastated Gondor and Eriador, the shadow grew deeper in Mirkwood, and evil things reappeared. The Necromancer attracted the descendants of Shelob, giant spiders, as well as bats and orcs in Dol Guldur's service, which flourished within his shadow. The Necromancer even seemed to control the Belchoth, a tribe of Easterlings who dwelt east of Mirkwood and raided the Elves of Lorien. As the Necromancer's influence grew, these creatures occupied the forest and it became thicker, darker, and covered in cobwebs. Thranduil retreated even further, abandoning all of the south of the forest, including the Old Forest Road, until the Wood Elves lived exclusively in and around the Elven King's halls at the eastern end of the northerly Forest River, rarely leaving them for fear of encountering the servants of the Necromancer, just trading with the humans of Laketown for the things they wanted to keep their lavish lifestyle going. Mirkwood remained a place of fear throughout the Third Age, as Thranduil refused to fight against the evil within it, or even recognise it. The Necromancer ruled southern Mirkwood without challenge for nearly a millennium, building armies of orcs and Easterlings within it, hidden from the sight of the White Council or the forces of good. The darkness spread. To the west, Khazad-dûm fell to the Balrog, and orcs and goblins held sway in the Misty Mountains. The humans living in the Anduin Valley were killed or emigrated. The hobbits headed west, eventually settling in the Shire. To the east, Smaug arrived, destroying the kingdom of Erebor and the town of Dale. Eventually, of course, this growing shadow could not be ignored. Gandalf had long been suspicious of what was going on there, and in the year 2063 of the Third Age, he went to investigate. He made it to Dol Guldur, and the Necromancer fled before him, so his true identity could not be discovered. For a time, which became known as the Watchful Peace, all was quiet, but the Necromancer returned in 2460, and things carried on as they had before. Gandalf, still suspicious, returned to Mirkwood in 2850, this time searching for the missing dwarf King Thrain. He discovered him in the dungeons of Dol Guldur. Even more importantly, he discovered that the Necromancer was none other than Sauron this whole time. It took nearly a century, but eventually the White Council, under Saruman's leadership at the time, let's not forget, agreed to launch a raid on Dol Guldur. Gandalf times this with the quest of Erebor, the events of The Hobbit, so it happens off-page. That's where Gandalf disappears to, partway through the story on the edges of Mirkwood. It says a lot that Thranduil, despite being titular ruler of Mirkwood, isn't involved in any of this. He seems more bothered by imprisoning the dwarves and trying to take their gold. Gandalf evidently doesn't even trust him enough to tell him that the most powerful elves and wizards in Middle-earth were about to stage an assault on Sauron in his own forest. The quest of Erebor was an undeniable success, but the assault on Dol Guldur was less so. Sauron was chased from the forest, and the darkness of Mirkwood was lifted for a while, but only 10 years later, Sauron, now based in Mordor, sent Camul and two other Nazgul to reoccupy Dol Guldur. They easily achieved this because the White Council were now focused more on Mordor and the Ring, and because despite the respite, Thranduil had left Dol Guldur undefended. Slowly, Dol Guldur began to darken the forest around it once more. This gave cover, once again, for Sauron to amass armies of orcs and easterlings there. Once Sauron's presence had been announced to the rest of the world, the orcs of Dol Guldur became much more brazen in their attempts to control all of Mirkwood. They began a series of attacks against the elves of the Woodland Kingdom as their armies grew. After one of these attacks, prompted no doubt directly by Sauron, Gollum escaped from captivity. Aragorn had left him with Thranduil after questioning him about the ring, but for the second time in two stories, Thranduil loses his prisoner. The reason Legolas was at Rivendell was to let everyone know. During the War of the Ring, Mirkwood was occupied in a small war of its own as the orcs of Dol Guldur continued to slowly engage the soldiers of the Woodland Realm in skirmishes across the forest. Despite this constant thorn in his side, Thranduil never waged a major offensive against the orcs and instead spent his time waiting within the Elven King's halls and defending himself and his people. Safe in the knowledge that Thranduil would not attack them, Dol Guldur sent most of its forces to invade the realm of Lorien. They assaulted Lorien multiple times, and every time they were repelled by the elves of Lorien and the power of Galadriel. Despite the constant defeats, Dol Guldur continued to attack both Lorien and the Woodland Realm. Likely, this was a part of Sauron's strategy to divide and conquer Middle-earth. He wanted to keep the forces of Mirkwood and Lorien occupied so they could not help the men of Gondor or Rohan in their time of need. As a continuance of this same strategy, on the same day of the Battle of the Pelennor Fields in Gondor, forces from Dol Guldur invaded the realm of Thranduil in Mirkwood. Instead of the small skirmishes seen before, this was a large-scale invasion of the Elven King's halls. After a long battle under the trees involving a forest fire in Mirkwood, Thranduil stepped up and defeated the forces of Dol Guldur. After this defeat, Thranduil apparently did not attempt to take Dol Guldur and secure his kingdom's safety. Instead, he retreated back again to his halls as Dol Guldur reeled from their losses. However, the initiative was taken up by a host of elves from Lorien, led by Celeborn, who crossed the Anduin in boats and took on the remaining defenders of Dol Guldur. The battle was short and swift as the elves of Lorien conquered the fortress. Galadriel then destroyed the walls of the fortress and uncovered its pits. With this final act, the forest of Mirkwood was cleansed. Celeborn did not retreat from Mirkwood once he had conquered Dol Guldur, and instead met with Thranduil in the middle of the forest to talk. They agreed that, with the shadow of Sauron gone, they would rename the forest Erin Lasgallen, or the Wood of Green Leaves. They also agreed to divide the forest between them, instead of returning it all to Thranduil. This is probably fair, as Thranduil had basically abandoned the south of the forest centuries earlier. They agreed that the realm of Thranduil encompassed the northern part of the wood, down to the mountains of Mirkwood, where his halls were. Celeborn was given the southern part of the wood, up to the narrows of the forest. This new realm was named East Lorien by Celeborn. The vast forest land between the mountains of Mirkwood and the narrows of the forest were to be given to the woodmen and the descendants of the shapeshifter Beorn, the Beornings. And so it was. In the Fourth Age, the Forest of Green Leaves prospered as the darkness of Dol Guldur was lifted. Not that the political divisions agreed to at the end of the Third Age would last for all that long. The Wood Elves all either sailed west, as we know Legolas did, for example, or, in the words of Galadriel, dwindled to a rustic folk of dell and cave, slowly to forget and be forgotten. In time, all the forest would become part of the dominion of man, and no doubt some more would have been chopped down as the East Bight was, but for a time under the Woodmen and the Beornings, it was in safe hands. Mirkwood's shift from a bucolic home to elves wanting to recapture the simplicity of forest life to a dark, foreboding place where the greatest evil in Middle-earth could return to power was a slow one. Everyone could see it happen, bit by bit, year by year, century by century, even going as far as changing the name of the forest to reflect its new, darker status. But other than Gandalf, no one did anything. Thranduil retreated and looked the other way. Neighbours like Galadriel focused on their own kingdoms. The White Council ummed and ahed, and evil kept growing. Sauron was allowed to grow strong once more. If he had been confronted there and then, perhaps the greater evils of the future could have been prevented, but it happened so slowly that no one really seemed to pay attention. It's a chilling reminder not to leave facing the dark things of this world until they grow even stronger. But also, let's not forget how quickly things returned to light and life afterwards. The Wood of Green Leaves came through in the end. Nature and light and hope did prevail. If you enjoyed this video and want more videos about Tolkien's Legendarium, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or to support this channel, the best way to do that is by clicking on the link on the right of your screen now. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.